to the Fantasy's Finest Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. You know your guy, the host, the big man, William Spencer. And guess what? Jalen is in the episode this time. Say what's up to the people, Jalen.
What's going on, people? And I'm in every episode.
Yeah.
From here on out.
Yeah. It's no fault of your own, man. I know we always got lives. You got a baby girl, life. Man. You got a whole family over there. Life Believe hits. Me, I understand.
Life hits hard.
Yes, it does. And it hits hard and it hits swiftly.
But we're back.
Yes, sir. And we got so much to talk about. We have everything that's going on in the NFL right now. All the offseason headlines, we got to get to some of this stuff. Free agency has kind of slowed down, so now we can talk about some of the biggest moves, the biggest winners and losers of free agency, especially for you fantasy football guys who are looking at this like, you know, all the big moves, what do they mean? How do they impact the players, their new locations? We get to talk about all of that today. But I wanted to open up this episode because you posted something on Twitter that I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm back on Twitter too, by the way, people.
Yes, this man. First of all, hold on. Before I get into the intro, how you just go dip off Twitter and not say nothing? Like, I had to go look for you. I was like, man, I haven't seen him up here in a minute.
You should have seen, which is why, you know, I mess with a lot of people, a lot of y'all on Twitter, because a lot of people did text me on my phone, PlayStation, like, was like, yo, where are you? Like, I'm like, but, I got suspended, and instead of appealing it, I just was like, whatever. I'll let it rock out.
What you get suspended for?
I can't say. all right, but I mean, all right, so it was a joke. Like, you know, me and my homies joking on Twitter. That's how it was. And I said something pausey, so I said pause, but in another way. I said no, you know. You know what I'm saying? Hold on. You can see the messages that pop up
sometimes, but I missed that whole scenario.
You see that message that just popped up?
Where on
the?
I see it.
Okay, that's what I said. So,
then you got God for that?
Yeah, I got God for that. Come on, man! Like,
Twitter.
All the stuff that happens that you see on Twitter that people say, the fact that I got for something like that was crazy.
Somebody was hating on you. That's what it was. Yeah,
somebody was hating. But it's all good. I'm back on Twitter. I got to get my followers back up. But, you know, that's nothing.
On Twitter, @_BlackMoscato now. It's not the old way. It's _BlackMoscato.
Yes.
Matter of fact, let me get into the socials and everything. You can follow the Fantasy's Finest Podcast across all social media: YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're on TikTok now. The YouTube channel is growing. We're almost at 240 subscribers, so you can check us out there. And you can subscribe to the podcast on Google, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And if you hear any thumping in the background, my son must have just heard me recording. He came downstairs. He's jumping around. Talks to me, yeah, you can follow us everywhere. I'm like, this is all crazy. But back to what you posted on Twitter.
Yep.
You had a very good tweet that I saw. I wanted to talk about it a little bit, but for the fantasy aspect, because yours was, who will have the biggest bounce back season in 2023, and you listed four quarterbacks: Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, or Lamar Jackson. But now for the NFL aspect, what your official answer was, because it was a poll.
My official answer was Russell Wilson. Because I think you had brought up a good point, like, but I was thinking, you know, kind of in the same way, out of, you know, Derek Carr, Lamar, Dak, you know, they had down years, but Russell Wilson's year was absolutely, like, terrible.
Yeah.
So, with that being in mind, and then the fact that the Broncos have Sean Payton now, I expect the biggest bounce back year to be Russell Wilson, as far as the terms of the actual NFL. Now, as far as fantasy goes, it's Dak.
You think so?
Yeah. Or can I split or are you gonna make me choose?
No, this is open. You know, it could be okay. Whatever.
All right, so I'm gonna go between Dak and Lamar. The reason I'm gonna go with split is because Lamar, obviously, in fantasy, you know, the reason why Lamar goes so high is because he's a dual threat quarterback. Mm-hmm. So running, passing, and with the new addition of Odell Beckham.
Oh, you giving up too much tape. We're about to get in there in the news section. But yes, that was breaking news before we got on. Odell has a new landing spot. We'll tell you where a little later on in the show.
Right. Well, obviously,
You gave it away.
Right.
But Beckham with the Ravens.
You're right. So with that, I would say Lamar. Where it comes with Dak, and before I just go into this, I want to make sure everybody feel like I hate Dak now. That is not the case. I still love Dak. I'm just still upset about the way the season ended and how it ended and to who it ended. So once I get over that, I'll be back on track. But y'all got to give me some time to work to through my emotions. Yes, please. Goodness gracious. But I say Dak because, number one, no more Kellen Moore, which is a plus. So
yep, he's with the Chargers.
Yeah, so McCarthy will have more of a hand in the offense, so that's a plus. And then in the last, I want to say, 2 or 3 years, although last season the interception totals were high, Dak has been putting up crazy fantasy points, you know, since, you know, the Cowboys been averaging 30 plus since the past like 2 or 3 seasons when Dak has played. So that alone, I want to say Dak. And if he starts to use his legs more like we've seen towards at the end of the year, then that just only opens it up more for fantasy. So I'm a split between Dak and Lamar for fantasy purposes.
Now, for me, it was Russell Wilson. And the reason why I say that is because, I mean, you've already alluded to the fact that his season, his first season with the Denver Broncos was horrible. But with Russell Wilson being, he's going to be so cheap this year as far as ADP, because people are going to look at his last season and they're going to be completely out. Then you have all the other guys who are going to be taken ahead of him, heading into the draft. These other guys are going to be propped up. Even guys like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, those guys are going to get drafted before Russell Wilson. Not only is he going to be a cheap option, but if Sean Payton can right the ship for Russell Wilson this year, he's going to be outstanding. And for I don't understand why they're trying to trade Cortland Sutton, or the rumors have been that they're trying to trade either Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. You're not doing that. You're not going to go into the season and handicap Russell Wilson, you know, without having him have proper weapons. Sean Payton writes that shit. I mean, you take one of those guys away, you got Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy.
I mean,
Tim Patrick.
If you're just trading them away, yeah, but the hope is you're trading them away to replace them. You wouldn't just, you know.
I mean, but you look at the scope of free agency at the wide receiver position. There's not a lot of guys there that you would replace Jerry Jeudy with in a trade. And you're going to trade them for draft picks. You're not getting players. You're not likely going to get players back for those guys. You're looking to get assets that you can go to the draft with.
Now, I'm pretty sure with the Jerry Jeudy, what was going on down with Jerry Jeudy possibly being traded to the Cowboys, they were trying to get a first for him, which, you know, obviously makes sense. But Cortland Sutton, I can see trading him because, I mean, he's been let down. I mean,
yeah, but to be fair, has he had a quarterback to actually help him over the last 4 years?
I hate that argument. Because it's a good argument, though. No, but it's not, because it's a lot of a good receiver. If you're a good receiver, then you're a good receiver. How many years did DeAndre Hopkins play with Brandon Weeden?
That's different, though.
No,
DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is a freak of nature.
Cortland Sutton wasn't supposed to be a freak of nature.
No, are you really going to sit here compare Cortland Sutton to DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm not comparing it. But
that's
it.
That's a different. Oh,
okay.
That's a
okay. 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 Level maybe. Of skill there. Okay. Okay. Let's. All right. Okay. Fine. We'll put DeAndre Hopkins out of this. CeeDee Lamb was playing with Cooper Rush. How many games did CeeDee?
Four games though.
Okay. Five no games. Four. But no. Well, the season before that, he played with Cooper Rush. as well, right?
When 2020?
CeeDee Lamb. Cooper Rush played.
It was one. That was one game against Minnesota.
What about 2020? When did CeeDee Lamb get
drafted? That was a fluster cluck. You know that. That was horrible.
But still, regardless, CeeDee Lamb has played well with backup quarterbacks, right?
It's debatable. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Oh my god. He has.
But all right, I'll take your word for it. You know we fact check.
Oh yeah, you know I'm already fact checking it as we speak. But last season, Cortland Sutton like 800 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, I mean, come on, dude. Like in the past, since Cortland Sutton's been in the league, he's only scored 14 touchdowns. And in the past 3 years, it's been 4 touchdowns. So he's come on. I mean,
yeah, but his quarterbacks haven't been good. They haven't even been average.
But what if the quarterbacks haven't been good because he's not good? Teddy Bridgewater, was it? Did he play?
He was a bum.
No. That's not my point. My point is Teddy Bridge. My point is Teddy Bridgewater. When he played for the Broncos last season, he played particularly well. Mm. I'm not saying he played the best. I'm not saying he played the worst, but he played particularly well. Teddy Bridgewater goes to the Dolphins. He plays well when Tua got hurt.
They didn't win a game with Teddy Bridgewater, and he had Tyreek Hill and
all right. See, this is all right. Now you know what. This is what y'all doing to me on Twitter, because
I mean, because, just be fair. Look at how the season went for in your Teddy Bridgewater Tua scenario. Look at how the season went. When Tua was healthy, they were undefeated. When he got hurt and Teddy Bridgewater came in, they couldn't buy a win. And you still had the same weapons around Teddy that Tua had.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, that's just granted. Start a quarterback from your backup quarterback.
But that just shows you. I mean, I'm sorry. That just shows you when you don't have a competent quarterback, the team
Teddy suffers. Bridgewater was a competent quarterback with the Broncos.
Yeah, and that's why he's been shipped around from year to year.
But my point is, Teddy Bridgewater was a competent quarterback with the Broncos. Cortland Sutton was on that team, and he underperformed.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater, when he played, I fact check.
And I respect the fact that you do. And, all I'm saying is
Bridgewater, when he played for the Broncos, 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 7 picks. That's pretty well. 94 quarterback read. That's pretty well. Okay. Cortland Sutton is not that guy. So if I'm the Broncos, and you know, if I'm shopping Cortland Sutton, it's to replace him because he hasn't lived up to what he's supposed to do.
All right, I'll give you that. I'm gonna run down. I'm gonna go look up the quarterbacks he was catching passes from outside of Teddy Bridgewater. You ain't heard the last of me. But yeah, Russell, the turnaround for Russell, I think it would be greater for fantasy. Like when you look at the other options you put up there.
Oh, wow, really?
Lamar Jackson, you know, he just needed more weapons and he needs to stay healthy. He missed the last 5 games in the last 2 seasons or last 6 games in the last 2 seasons. That's not good. But you want him to be durable. But I think that's an issue where that can be fixed if you tighten up the offensive line. You take a little bit of the rushing game away from him because you didn't have J.K. Dobbins. He was missing time because of the torn ACL and then recovery. You didn't have much of a run game behind him. So that'll help. When all those guys come back healthy for Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr has been an average fantasy quarterback over his tenure with the Raiders. Yeah. The Saints do present a bigger opportunity for him, but the only thing that gives me pause is that you had Davante Adams last year, and right. You still were like the quarterback 15, 16, somewhere in that
Davante Adams
in that area.
And Darren Waller, so
yeah. Well, yeah. Darren Waller got, you know, Darren Waller was made it glass the last couple of seasons.
He was, yeah, that's true.
But you still had some of those guys, and you still had Davante Adams, who was a top 3 or 4 wide receiver, depending on who you talk to. So Derek Carr has had weapons before, and then he got the best weapon you can get, and he was still average. So it was like, you know, can he change that narrative for him as far as fantasy goes next season? The jury's out. But the landing spot, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I personally like the landing spot. I'll just leave it at that. And as far as Dak Prescott goes, it was just a matter of cutting down the interceptions. He was a top 10 quarterback when he came back from injury all the way up to week 17. He was averaging 20 fantasy points per game. So Dak has always been a more consistent fantasy player. He's just not the biggest name that you can get. You know, you're going to get Dak Prescott after some of the bigger names like your Josh Allen's, your Trevor Lawrence's, your well, Kyler Murray's not going to be good for half the year because he's still recovering. But there's going to be a few names that'll go ahead of Dak Prescott. And you can see
maybe
that.
Only like five. Maybe like
I don't
five.
Know, man. The way boys be talking, Daniel Jones and Geno Smith.
You, yeah, it's cool to talk that way on Twitter, but when you in the money league, you picking Dak Prescott. It's easy to talk that stuff on Twitter, but after them, after Lamar, or let's throw Lamar in there. But after Lamar,
yeah, Lamar will be picked Mahomes, before all Hurts, your rushing quarterbacks will get picked before Hurts, Dak.
Burrow and Herbert. Fields. You're taking Dak. No, I'm not taking Fields that early.
Yeah, I bet you they will. And I get it because of the fantasy aspect. Because he's the running quarterback. And
he's dependent on that, though. And that's why, because I had Fields in fantasy this past season. And he had maybe like two or three like huge games fantasy-wise as far as I can remember. But he's dependent on rushing. So when other teams played it that way, Fields is not a good fantasy. He's not a good fantasy quarterback.
But the thing is, now he's got some legit weapons, and now he's got time to gel with them. So we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Let's get into the heart of the episode. But before we do, you know we got to talk about the news, and Jalen's already given up tape from our news segment. So let's get right into the news and notes from around the NFL.
News and notes from around the NFL.
All right. First up, Tyreek Hill says during his appearance on a Totally Offensive podcast that he plans to retire after the 2025 season. They said he'll be around 31 years old. He's looking to conclude his NFL career after his contract is done with the Miami Dolphins. And he wants to get into the business aspect or business ventures after his NFL career is done, and even possibly get into coaching. How do you think that Tyreek Hill is serious? I mean, I know he wants to, you know, do more outside of the NFL. When you listen to the podcast clips, that was one thing that he expressed. But do you think Tyreek Hill could really walk away at 31 years old?
I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, Calvin Johnson did it.
Yeah. But I think that was because he was stuck with the Lions, though.
Well, I mean, he wasn't. He could have left. He could have. But I mean,
I think he contract though.
Yeah, I mean, contract schmontract. I mean,
he's like, I'm Calvin Johnson. Get out! I can get up and leave whenever I want.
Calvin Johnson wanted to leave. He could have. I mean, Randy Moss got out of you know what I'm saying, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, it could have happened, but I could see it. And then the way it's going, I mean, does he really want to keep playing with Tua? I mean, I would.
So. I don't know. Listen, I was one of the biggest Tua supporters coming into last season. Because when you armed yourself with Tyreek Hill and then you got Jalen Waddle, like, that's a good wide receiver tandem right there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people was hating on Tua leading up to the season. And as long as he was on the field, he was cooking. He had the highest passer rating in the NFL for like, what, 5-6 weeks? And then, you know, the injuries kind of kept in.
It's just funny that when, you know, he left Mahomes and he goes to play with Tua and he's like, all right, yeah, I'm retiring.
I mean, but he was talking noise before when he left too. So
yeah, he was.
Not big trash talk, but he was still talking. Moving on, we already did the breaking news because you gave it up. Odell Beckham signs a 1-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens, and according to Ian Rappaport, the deal is a 1-year contract worth up to $18 million. Now, reading it that way, it sounds like it's a bit of incentives laced into that contract. I want to see the details when they come out because I'll put it like this. I did not see Odell Beckham getting the $20 million that he was rumored to be requesting. And then he came out later and was like, you know, ain't nobody say no $20 million. I'm just saying you can't just offer me $5 million. And I'm like, all right, bro. So where's your median at? And then it came out later that it was $15 million. I'm like, I'm not giving him $15 million for 1 year. I'm not doing that. But apparently they put some incentives in the deal. Or it looks like they put some incentives in the deal to make it to that threshold. And I think I'll probably if I was a betting man, he probably has to make it through the. Why you keep? He's like, this is not interesting. But it's, but the positive is that you get, you hopefully get to change Lamar Jackson's mind as far as him wanting to be out. Like, do you think that this is a big enough move to be like, look, man, Lamar, look, we adding weapons around you, so we want you back. We want you to be the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens next season. We're going to give you a contract. We're not going to make you play on a franchise tag. What do you think? Like, is that a big enough move if you're Lamar Jackson to be like, you know what? Let me come back and play with these guys.
That's why I yawn, because
ignorant.
Not so much of it's, you know, like it's not interesting, but because I'm so tired of Odell, man. Like, first, you know, last season he goes into, I'm ready to play. You know what? I won't play these last 3 weeks to get back into shape. I'll just come back and play playoffs. But he wasn't even ready to do that. So, I mean, now that you got a contract, I mean, is he really even ready to come back?
Oh, you're doubting whether he's ready or not.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Lamar, I mean, I'm just looking back. I mean, I'm looking at this move and I'm like, premier receiver who has come off of two ACL injuries recently, mm-hmm. and he's going to come in and be my number one.
Maybe not number one. He might be number two.
Number one, number two, but then how many games am I going to have him? And once I, you know, is he going to get hurt again? And will I be stuck with now Nelson Aguilar stepping up as my number two if he goes down?
I forgot he's over there.
I mean, if I'm Lamar, I'm still on the fence because there's too many questions about Odell.
That's fair. I forgot Nelson Aguilar was over there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I don't know if I'm Lamar Jackson, the next step is, okay, you've added a weapon. I got Odell Beckham. I want to see what that contract looks like because I want more money than Russell Wilson. if that's the parameter.
Deservedly so.
Especially after how Russ played last year. You can't sit there and say, well, we're not going to give you more guaranteed money than Russell Wilson. But I played better than Russell Wilson. And I'm better than Russell Wilson at this point.
If we're going to be honest, he deserves around the same contract as Jalen Hurts. Obviously Jalen Hurts deserves more from what he just did. But
you're saying like in that ballpark, like if
in the ballpark, right?
If Jalen gets 50,
that's like the market. That is
because the market.
Because number one, but you ain't Lamar should have been paid. He should have been extended won. You know what I'm saying? So, kind of like Dak situation now, because you should have been paid me. Now I need more on the mm-hmm. table. Now, because you didn't take care of it then, mm-hmm. so Lamar should be getting around Jalen Hurts type money, 50 mil, you know, 55 mil. He definitely deserved more than Kyler, and then Kyler get like 50.
I don't think he got 50. He's up there though. I think he's around.
Kyler got like, look it up, but
he's
got
to be. He's definitely over 40, 45.
Because Kyler over Dak, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
Dak is like 10th now.
What the heck has Kyler done to get paid more than Lamar Jackson?
Nobody has that conversation.
If I'm Lamar, I'm still looking sideways at the Ravens, and I'm looking sideways at the situation with Odell. So, I mean, if I was him, I would still want out. I would still want out.
All right. I'll give you one more sub question. Where would you want to go if you're Lamar?
If I was Lamar, I would actually really want to go play with
the Jets. I know, I put you on the spot.
I'd say the Jets.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a nice squad.
I would really want to go play for the Jets.
Like if the Aaron Rodgers trade falls through? Because that's supposed to be happening.
I haven't heard anything about that in a while. I was wondering if that's even still a thing.
I got a clip.
Check on that.
I posted a clip on the Fantasy's Finest accounts where Joe Douglas was like, he's on the way. So they really? Gotta be getting, yeah. If I don't know, you know, everybody's been saying stuff like, oh, he's tampering, or oh, the Jets are losing leverage and all that stuff. But the Packers, not to segue too far, but the Packers want to get, I feel like the Packers want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They're just trying to get the max value of a trade that they can. But you got $60 million looming over there, over your head heading into the next season. And if you're going to, you want to get rid of him because you want to get rid of some of that money off that deal, or at least give it to the Jets so they can deal with that.
Okay. But, so, all right. So I'll take the Jets out of it then if that's the case. Let's say, because let's say you're right. Let's say Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets.
I don't think you have to, because let's say
worst case scenario. I strongly considered going to the Colts. Mm-hmm. I like Michael Pittman. I like the offensive line, number one. And then I have Jonathan Taylor back there with me as well. So those three things would entice me more than playing with
Odell and the Ravens again.
Yeah, it would. If I was Lamar, I'm not. But if I was, I would like the Colts.
All right. Well, you might get another spot too, because apparently Mac Jones is reportedly being shopped this offseason by Belichick. you don't want to go play with the Patriots?
Heck no. Heck no.
And Juju Smith-Schuster.
The Patriots, first of all, Bill Belichick, that fraud, he is such a, they don't care about the quarterback position. You know, you can't.
Why you call Bill Belichick a fraud, though?
That's all Brady, man.
Oh, my God.
That's all Brady. I don't get too sidetracked, but that's all Tom Brady. That is all Tom Brady.
All right. Well, apparently, Mac Jones was frustrated with the way the offense was being ran last year. And there's a few reports saying that he looked for outside help, seeking to understand what the offensive struggles were for the Patriots last season. And it got back to Bill Belichick. So he's been trying to chop him ever since. Like, he's like, apparently, per the reports, he's a little upset that Mac Jones went behind his back to go talk about his offense. But there's neither here nor there with that.
That's just silly.
Yeah, it kind of is. But that sounds like something Bill Belichick would do. Don't be coming around giving up tape while we struggling and all this extra stuff. Bill's, he kind of gives off that vibe like he's, everything is close to the vest. And we'll wrap up the segment with an update on Breece Hall. According to Robert Salah, the head coach for the Jets, he's looking, whoa, now pump your brakes here. This is my guy we're talking about here. Breece Hall is that dude. Yeah, so tuck your yawns, because this boy's going to be lethal if he gets back in week one and they take the training wheels off, because he was a monster last year. I was so heartbroken when he got hurt, yo, because I picked him up. Is. I had him on a couple of my fantasy teams, and Bulls was like, who's this? The Jets, they don't have, the offense sucks. But Breece Hall was killing it after week one.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt, and I'm like, oh, man. He put a hole right in my offense because I couldn't do anything after that. I lost a whole bunch of people in some of my leagues, man. But they say, Robert Salah saying he's looking fantastic in his recovery from his torn ACL. And ESPN's Rich Cinnamini writes that Hall is expected to be ready by week one. Now, this is pretty solid news. Hall wanted to come back to be ready for training camp, but it doesn't seem like that's in the picture anymore because of the way he tore his ACL. It was back in the late October. So they're probably just going to, you know, keep the kid gloves on him, make sure that he's ready for the start of the season. But if he slides in your fantasy leagues or your drafts because people are worried about whether or not he's going to get the full workload or they're going to run a committee, blah, 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 pick Breece Hall up. I cannot stress that enough. If he looks like he's going to slide, pick him up, stash him on your bench. He's going to be fire, even if it takes him to the second half of the year, especially to get right.
Get Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. You actually got a quarterback that can scare off defenders from the line of scrimmage. Like, because Zach Wilson was hot doo-doo butter last year. Yep. But that'll wrap it up for our news. He was garbage, man.
Definitely.
They should have moved on from him a couple years ago.
He was so garbage that we're moving on.
And it was Let's get into our main segment, 2023 free agency, biggest winners and losers.
And now for our feature presentation.
All right. So, oops. All right. So
you for wait. You forgot a big. I mean, I wouldn't say really a big thing, but
what I forget.
You forgot. You forgot to talk about Mr. 2015.
Oh, Cam Newton. I did forget. You know what?
It's you know why you forgot.
Let's why?
Because he's a random.
How are all of these randoms still getting jobs? And Shannon, that was the one time I agreed with Shannon Sharp. He was like, "Bro, sir. You wanted them randoms."
Yeah. Now I don't watch any of them shows, but you know, you see some little clips here and there on Twitter. And I was like, wow, so no, I agree with Shannon Sharp, bro.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the questions. I totally skipped right over that.
Yeah, that's so, fine. It's skip worthy. So winners and losers.
We could talk about a little bit, because it's like Cam Newton, should he be a starter? And it's like, not really.
No.
He shouldn't be a starter.
And would you look at that? The fastest segment on.
I will say this, though. There are some teams that he could start over.
That he could start. I dare you to give me one of those teams.
The Jets. If they weren't going for Aaron Rodgers, you could definitely say Cam Newton could start over Zach Wilson. He's a bum. Zach Wilson was not good at any point in his career. He could definitely start over Zach Wilson. I even dare say he could have started over Sam Darnold when he was with the Panthers, because Sam Darnold wasn't good.
Okay.
But, you know, that's about it. Because there's not, he says there aren't 32 other guys that are better than him. And I'm sitting here looking at the quarterbacks that are playing right now, and I'm scratching my head like, who does he think he's starting over at this point in his career?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm speechless. Because as I was going over this, I'm like, you know, I'm going through stats and I'm like, Cam ain't starting over nobody. I completely forgot Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold existed in the league.
Mm-hmm. Because Sam Darnold's now with the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know, it Brock Purdy is probably going to miss large majority of the season. We can talk about.
He could be a backup. The last time we seen Cam start, let's say for more than 15 games, he threw 8 touchdowns and had 10 interceptions.
Was that with the Patriots?
Yeah, he played 15 games.
And then he lost his job to Mac Jones.
Yeah, so with that being the case, and I looked to see the quarterbacks who started this year who at least played 15-plus games and see how many of them threw 8 in these 8 or less interceptions. You know how many quarterbacks did?
Who? How many?
None. So only he might be the only quarterback in the history of the NFL to play 15 games and throw 8 interceptions. I mean, yeah. 8 touchdowns. So, I mean,
Jesus.
How these randoms getting jobs? I mean, the randoms are better than you. I don't want to reiterate Shannon Sharp, but you one of those randoms. Like, you're not the same
Cam Newton.
You just sue TJ Watt because.
I wish somebody would have asked him. I would have asked him, all right, bro, who do you think that you could start over? Since you said
yes, that
there are 32 randoms getting jobs.
Right.
Who are these? Who are the quarterbacks that you feel you could start over right now? Yeah. I would put him in the hot seat. And I haven't yet to see anybody do that. Maybe I missed it. If anybody listening to this, they hear this comment, tag me in it on whatever social media you want.
It's much easier to say there aren't 32 quarterbacks better than me rather than pinpointing which quarterbacks you're better than.
Yeah, but that's what I would make him do. All right, bro, you said 32 guys can't start over you. You talking about backups?
Because he did name quarterbacks that he would be willing to back up. But do you notice, did you see the pattern on why he chose all those quarterbacks?
Because they were all black?
No. First of all, what I'm going to say is going to sound racist. But that's only because Will just said what he said. Because they, but they fit his play style. Running the ball, you know, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, you know, one of those.
Yeah, you're right.
Down, then
he had Josh Allen on there too.
Right, Josh Allen. I can run some quarterback draws. I can get out of this because you're not good. You have to have a certain way to play, or you're not good. Mm-hmm. And even when you played the way that you were playing, 8 touchdowns and 10 picks, and I didn't even count the fumbles in there. So I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah,
like you don't even have it. You're talking about quarterbacks you are willing to back up. It's different. Colin Kaepernick got blackballed. You are just simply not in the league because you're not good. That's all it is. Just
I mean, that's the truth. That's very much the truth. All right, so let's get into these winners and losers. We have a list of guys. I didn't want to put every move in there, but some of these bigger name guys, we can debate whether they're a winner or losers as far as free agency. Now, we're going to start off with Derek Carr. If I'm looking at this move from a fantasy aspect, I think that this move is a win for Derek Carr to land with the Saints. We don't know what Michael Thomas' status is, but you look on paper, you have Michael Thomas, you have Chris Olave. You might not have Alvin Kamara because of his situation with his run-in with the law. But yeah, on paper, it does look like a good setup for Derek Carr to be able to progress. And you got Juwan Johnson, too, the tight end that just got paid. He's got a nice squad, and he gives you something that Andy Dalton didn't present as much last season, and that's the deep ball. Derek Carr was top five in deep ball attempts last year. So you know you get that extra, you get those extra chunk plays. And if you're a Chris Olave owner in Dynasty or you're looking to draft him for fantasy this year, he's going to be that deep threat guy as opposed to Michael Thomas, because you don't even know how long Thomas is going to be on the field. So that Derek Carr, Chris Olave connection is going to be something to watch this year.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I don't need to comment any further than that.
All right, so let me get your take on this. Is this a win-loss for Alan Lazard and Miko Harman going to the Jets?
Yo, you know what's crazy? You know, I got my notepad here, and, you know, our winners and losers, who's winners, who's losers. I literally put a column for not sure for Alan Lazard and Harman. The reason is because if they're playing with Zach Wilson, losers.
Yeah.
If they're playing with Aaron Rodgers, winners. So I can't. I said not sure, and I don't do this often. I'm on the fence, so right. I'm gonna say not sure.
Well, I'm thinking they're gonna come in. They're gonna get Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think that the Packers are holding out to try and get as much as possible for Aaron Rodgers, but they're gonna have to pull the trigger sooner or later. And I think Aaron Rodgers is gonna come in, and the Jets will potentially be playoff contenders this year, if they can make it out of that division. But you get a better chance with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. And when you have him out there, Alan Lazard was his biggest target with the Packers last year. Miko Harman gives you speed. And they've told him that he's going to have a more extensive route tree with the Jets as opposed to just running sweeps and, you know, run plays and all that stuff.
Right.
But the biggest, not to get off track, but Garrett Wilson. He's going to be a problem if Aaron Rodgers gets in there.
Yeah.
I like him the most. But overall.
Oh, man, they got a nice little.
They do. They really do.
Nice little squad.
Aaron Rodgers comes in. I think it's a win for Alan Lazard. But I'll be honest. I'm really looking at Garrett Wilson. Like, I'm not crazy about. It's a win because Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard have the connection. But yeah, Garrett Wilson, I feel like, is going to be the top dog there.
I might be
walking over something I said earlier. I'm just trying to make sure.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Let me go check my Instagram real quick. But you said that you didn't like Alan Lazard. I just got to make sure, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be tab dancing. You know what I'm saying? I might have to check Twitter. I'll check it later. I'm gonna say I'm not sure. I'll leave it at that.
All right, so we got a new column.
Yeah, new column. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo to the Raiders.
Loser.
Even with Davante Adams?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree.
I mean, he had Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and San Fran. He still really wasn't a fantasy killer. You know what I mean? And for a while before he got hurt, Christian McCaffrey, and before that, he had, you know, some pretty good backs. I mean, it's a downgrade from Carr, like you said, and you mentioned earlier in the show. Carr, since he's been in the league with the Raiders, he hasn't really been that good as a fantasy. So I doubt this going to change when you downgrade quarterbacks from Carr to Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. Loser. I agree with that. I wasn't too crazy about Jimmy Garoppolo being a quarterback for fantasy. for the Raiders. I'm kind of worried it hurts Davante Adams. I'm kind of worried about that. I mean, on the flip, I'll give him some credit. On the flip, he did have Deebo Samuel as a number one wide receiver, a top wide receiver. What was that, 2020 or 2021? Deebo was, he was up there. He had a good year, over 1,400 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the rushing touchdowns.
But unfortunately, we're only going back to last year. So
yeah, that's true. You fair. So. Oh, and Al Lazard, winner. I confirmed it. Okay, okay. Make sure. All right. Baker Mayfield to the Bucks.
I'm not speaking on that.
Oh, I will. That's a loser move.
Yeah, thank you. That's a loser move. We could just keep going with that.
Yeah, Baker hasn't been good for fantasy in quite some time. I'm not convinced he's going to turn the corner with the Bucks. He hurts Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's fantasy value. I just wish they're ones that should have just went to the draft and got a different quarterback. Yep. I'll say this, and this is for me. If they went and got Carson Wentz, I'd feel more comfortable with Carson Wentz as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer than Baker Mayfield. That's just how I feel. Yep. I would have went with that direction. And Carson Wentz is still available. You know, he's got his own quirks he got to work through. But when I'm looking at talent-wise, I'm definitely taking Carson Wentz over Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, how Wentz is still on the street and Baker has a job?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. And Carson Wentz is terrible. So, you know, I just don't understand the thinking in that.
I don't know either. I mean, we briefly talked about Sam Darnold to the 49ers. This move is probably going to be up in the air because they've been talking about Sam Darnold and Trey Lance splitting first team reps to figure out who's going to be the starter while Brock Purdy is on the mend. If you had a choice, first let me ask you: is this a win or lose? Where does this fall in your column?
For Darnold?
Yeah, for Darnold, for the 49ers. Baker. Okay, and the losers.
Yeah.
Even with Kyle Shanahan's system, I mean, it's proven to be able
I'm glad you kept talking because I was about to say something so disrespectful.
You still can. You still can.
I don't care if I can't say that on the podcast, but I don't care if you put together the best offense. I don't care if Andy Reid and Bill Belichick were formed into one. Sam Darnold, no. First of all, me and Mark were on the Sam Darnold train, and now he let me down. No, he's good. Nope.
All right. Well, like, no more Sam Darnold.
No more.
That train has ridden by.
Yeah.
All right. Miles Sanders to the Panthers.
That's a W. Winner.
Yeah, agreed. That's a W. I think he takes over that backfield. He had a good year with the Eagles. They're going to run the ball, even if they draft they're going to draft a quarterback in the first. The rumors is Bryce Young. That could be a bit of a deception play because C.J. Stroud is still up there.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping they go Bryce Young because I want the Texans to get C.J. Stroud. I did an article on fantasy data. I think it's on fantasy data. How I want the draft to play out, but I can talk about that later. But I think Miles Sanders found a good landing spot. Hopefully, as long as he can stay healthy, he should be able to produce for the Panthers. They're going to need him out of that backfield, and it'll help out whatever quarterback they end up getting.
I really feel like Miles Sanders is like a top five to maybe eight running back.
You think so? And
yeah, I definitely think Miles got that dog. I think we were both like big Miles Sanders fans pre-draft before, like, you know, he was taken by the Eagles a couple years ago.
We were. He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, but still, man, I mean, you talking about big play capabilities and man, he is a dog.
Yeah, you saw that last year with the Eagles. Whenever they gave him the ball, he made something happen. And he was able to stay on the field. And that's what helped him the most. He was killing it. Because when you have to worry about a quarterback like Jalen Hurts running out of the backfield, you got the read option that was deadly for the Eagles last year. it's only so much you can watch until Miles Sanders rips off a big, big play.
Yeah. And I feel, I just feel like, you know, that's a W.
Now, this is one of my favorite moves this offseason. David Montgomery to the Lions. That's a W for me. I like that move. What do you think?
I have that in the North Not Sure column.
Really? Why?
Because I just feel like Jamal Williams was, he was really good. I mean, I know he went to the Saints or whatever, but I'm not really sold. I'm trying to find a way to put it. Like,
I'm shocked.
don't get me wrong. I think he's pretty good, but I think I'm more so, I don't know. I don't think he'll be better than what Jamal Williams was for the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a big mark because of what how many touchdowns Jamal Williams had. I don't expect him to have 17 touchdowns, but what he brings to the Lions' backfield is you get the power that you got from Jamal Williams, and you get a little bit of that pass catching ability that Swift has, and he's a lot more durable than DeAndre Swift. And they might not even keep him after this season. They've been talking about, there's been reports of them thinking about moving on from Swift. So that's why you go out and you get David Montgomery, because he can kind of do a little bit of everything. He might not be the best pass catcher, but if you throw him the ball, he's going to catch it. They never did that with the Chicago Bears because they had Khalil Herbert in the backfield who was catching passes out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. So you give David Montgomery the first two downs, and if you get into a passing situation, they kind of deferred to Khalil Herbert. But now, I think with the Lions, you have David Montgomery who can do that. I think he'll carve himself out a niche as a pass catcher in that backfield. I like the move. And you already talked about Jamal Williams to the Saints.
Yeah, that's
it. I'll say this. It's a loser. It's a loser move. Hear me out. It's a loser move because Alvin Kamara is still there. Now, if Alvin Kamara can't play or get suspended, Jamal Williams becomes an interesting piece because he's going to get that workload that Alvin Kamara is not going to be able to have. The other reason why I have it as a loser move is because they still have some fascination with Taysom Hill.
That's actually a great point.
I can't understand why they continue to use this bull. He's good. He's good for the football team. Don't get me wrong. He's good for the football team.
For sure.
But in terms of fantasy, it's like the ball will go in and he'll get three touchdowns. And then everybody will be talking about, you need to pick Taysom Hill up. And then he don't do squat for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'm not falling into that trap anymore. You went and got a bigger back in Jamal Williams. Give him the work. But until I see that, I can't trust it. The only thing I can hope for is that Jamal Williams gets added work because Alvin Kamara is not there. That's the only thing. Because Taysom Hill is going to rear his ugly head like he has the last couple seasons, and he's going to frustrate fantasy owners because you're expecting Jamal Williams to get the goal line looks, and then all of a sudden Taysom Hill comes in, and he's up here taking it in from the five. I can't deal with that no more. I can't.
I actually like your reasoning, but I'm going to still say W because I was looking at it more so like a Zeke Pollard situation
where,
where, you know, obviously Kamara's going to get the bulk of, you know, the carries and stuff like that as for this past season, you know, Pollard was. But, you know, when you get on those goal line situations, you need some strong big runs, and you got Jamal Williams, who's capable, if need be, of being that bell cow back like he was with the Lions. So I'm looking at it more like a 1-2 punch than the your side, but your side still, I mean, you still got some good reason on your side. So I'm gonna say it's a W.
Okay. All right. That's not bad. I can't totally disagree with that. That's not a bad reason at all. All right, so what do you think about this next one? Samaje Perine to the Broncos.
Trash losers.
You think that they you don't like Perine there being there?
Well, I mean, what did he do?
I mean, he wasn't bad for what the Bengals were asking him to do, but he was behind Joe Mixon. So okay. It's like, could so this be?
So with the Broncos, he's going to be behind Javonte Williams. So
remember, Javonte tore his ACL too, and it was worse. So he might not even start the season. Nobody knows when he's coming back. So until
you
that happens,
Ezekiel Elliott, you can go play for Denver.
Don't get me started on that, bro. I wasn't even going. I was trying to stay away from the Zeke stuff because I want him back.
I don't see why we wouldn't bring him back. I mean, but you know, sidetrack. But still, I don't see.
Yeah, we're not gonna get sidetracked.
What P. Ron brings, I mean,
he brings. I know
Javonte is hurt. The Broncos have to have another answer. I'm pretty sure they have another answer. But
you could probably see them. I could see them going in the draft and getting somebody.
Yeah,
but there's plenty of guys on free agency that you could bring back. Like you said, you could go Zeke and Samaje Perine until Javonte comes back. Kareem Hunt is still available.
Kareem Hunt.
You know, Marlon Mack. I feel like
there are so many options.
Yeah, there's a few options out there.
I just don't get the Perine.
I think what excites people about Perine is the opportunity, because he's going to be unopposed in that backfield. I don't think Latavius Murray isn't there anymore. He was on a one-year deal. Javonte Williams, you know, you hoping he comes back, but there's going to be some time between him actually being fully healthy, then being cleared, and then, you know, getting the training wheels off.
Yeah, he might not be back to like week six.
Yeah, so the Perine is going to have the backfield to himself for the most part, unless they bring somebody else in from the draft.
Still doesn't interest me.
I think people are enamored with the opportunity. But if I have to choose based on the situation, I would give it a W. It's a cheap landing spot for Perine, and he could have the backfield to himself for a while. Now, Jacoby Myers to the Raiders, that's a L. I think that's a loser move.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
And I like Myers, too. I like Myers, too, but I think – I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball all over the place. I don't see a lot of passing opportunities coming out of that backfield. You got Josh Jacobs there. They're going to run the ball again. You know, Jimmy will be asked to make plays. You know, you still got Davante Adams there, and I think Davante is going to command whatever passing attempts that come out of that with Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to go to him. I can't see Jimmy spreading the ball and throwing the ball 34 times a game and all of that stuff. I don't see that kind of scenario working, which is going to be interesting because Josh McDaniels, that used to be his guy back in New England. But I can't see a lot of work going around for Jacoby Myers to be a consistent fantasy threat. That's the L for me.
Definitely an L for me. I don't have to elaborate.
All right, what do you think about the Adam Thielen to the Panthers?
Oh, that's a loser move.
You think so?
Washed.
You think he's washed?
Oh, 100%.
Oh wow, I didn't think he was washed. I just kind of felt like they moved on from him. They gave Justin Jefferson the go ahead.
Did you see his year last year?
What was his year last year? Do you have it?
I got it, but I'm just talking about the fantasy perspective.
Yeah, he was kind of in the dumpster.
Like, goodness gracious. Hold on, I'll pull it up. I think it was like 700-something yards. Yeah, 716 yards, 6 TDs. And I am one of those people who I had really good fantasy teams. And obviously due to injuries, you know, things don't work out. Everybody know how fantasy is.
Bro,
Yeah, I had Thielen in two leagues, and my thinking was, you know, I got these good running backs. I got a good number one receiver on my fantasy teams. Thielen should be able to eat at the number two spot with Justin Jefferson. And boy, I mean, was he a disappointment, Doc? I mean, seriously, like, it was just terrible. So him going to the Panthers with no DJ Moore and just Adam Thielen, that's a loser move. That's a loser move.
Yeah, Thielen was giving you 10.6 fantasy points per game in PPR.
And I guarantee, and I promise you, it was not 10.6 per game either.
Was the average.
that's the average. Yeah, exactly.
He said he had some stinkers.
Yeah.
He had some stinkers.
Oh, more than enough.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have to see. Right now, it's a loser move. You need more out of that wide receiver core. You're going to have a rookie quarterback coming in. I don't think that the Panthers are done. I think they're going to continue to rebuild out of the draft. Thielen might be a nice safety blanket for whoever comes in and plays quarterback, but for fantasy, I'm probably going to pass on him. Yes, L. Now, we got to talk about some of these trades, and then we can wrap up the episode. So, the last three people that we have on our list are trades that happened during free agency. Darren Waller was traded to the Giants.
That's such winner. That is such a W.
It is. And I don't think people are paying enough attention to it.
And I hate it because it has to be within a division. But that, man, is that a W?
I think that Darren Waller is going to be the number one pass option for the New York Giants. When you look at how they built their wide receiver core, it's nothing but a bunch of wide receiver twos and threes. At, you know, I mean, outside of Isaiah Hodges, if he's going to be the wide receiver one, he's not.
I'm pretty sure they'll take him. I'm pretty sure they'll take a receiver in the draft too.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. But to start the season, Darren Waller is going to be the main target.
Yeah,
I think that's why you bring him in. Like I said, you got Paris Campbell, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard's coming back. You got a lot of guys who missed time because of injuries, in those two guys. And you have Isaiah Hodges, who did pretty well last year, especially, I think, down the stretch. He had a nice couple of games with Daniel Jones. But they're going to want him to throw the ball more because you can't keep running the ball with Saquon Barkley. I mean, you can, but Saquon needs help.
It's not successful. At the end of the day, the main goal is to win a Super Bowl, you know, so... And unfortunately, the way the league is now, you know, maybe back in 1980 you could win like that, but you can't win like that now. Your quarterback has to be able to throw the ball. So getting Waller as a big target for Daniel Jones, that's a W.
Yeah, I agree. DJ Moore was traded in a blockbuster move to the Bears. He's one of the reasons why this is a W move for me too.
Yeah, W.
DJ Moore is one of the reasons why Justin Fields is being talked about so much this offseason as being a top five quarterback heading into the 2023 season because he actually has a wide receiver core this year. Can you imagine if he somehow takes
that receiver core? Is, oh, man.
It's low-key good. You got DJ Moore, you got Chase Claypool, and you got Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, oh, man.
And Cole Kmet's not bad either, and Khalil Herbert out of the backfield. I hope they don't add another running back that can take work away from them.
What pick do they have this season?
Oh man, you just hold on. I got my because I had I left that window. Yeah. I left. I got TankNation.com on my phone. I leave that window up every time because I'd be looking at the draft.
The Bears pick ninth. If they go Bijan Robinson, oh my goodness,
they could do that.
Oh my, all right. We could do that. We could have a whole nother episode. That would be nasty. Oh my!
Yeah, because when you look at the draft order, you got the Panthers at one, Houston at two. They're going quarterback. Arizona could trade out, which is being talked about, but it's not being talked about enough.
Yeah,
Arizona could trade out of three, and somebody else could come in and take one of those top four or five quarterbacks. Colts should go quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
But regardless, then if I can not taking Bijan, Seattle, I don't know who they.
They got Kenny Walker. They just drafted a running back last year. Then you got the Lions. They just traded for. I mean, they just got David Montgomery. Las Vegas may need a quarterback. I don't know what Atlanta needs.
Atlanta receiver, no Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. They got Drake London. They got Drake London, and they don't use Kyle Pitts, so they may need another receiver.
So I'm just, oof, man.
Or somebody on the offensive line or defense. You know, they can go anywhere at eight. But, yeah, nine.
Oh, man, that would be nasty.
Because if you let Bijan slide past you at nine, the Eagles could get him.
I don't think the Eagles would take him. I mean.
I don't think they would. But
They don't need him.
I mean, but if he's the best player available and you're the Eagles with a luxury pick at 10.
Exactly. But just think about what we're talking about right now. If you're going best player available, there's no way you won't let Jalen Carter slip past. Yeah, that's true. You know what I'm saying? Especially with Fletcher Cox getting old, Hargrave left. There's no way you're going to let him slide and take a running back. I just don't. Because Fletcher got one more year best.
Good point.
So. The Bears better take him. That actually would be a woo.
Yeah, and with all of the stuff that they've added, if they need, I would say the Bears, if they don't go Bijan, they got to go offensive line because Justin Fields was getting smacked around last year behind that O-line.
Yeah.
But the if thing you about got O-line, Bijan,
you can take him wherever. And, you know,
yeah. If you got Bijan, you would keep Justin Fields clean.
Yes, you would.
It's another way to keep him clean.
And I don't want to get too sad, but the play action.
Yeah,
it'll be deadly. Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, DJ Moore to the Bears is definitely a W move.
Yes, definitely.
It's just going to help. He's going to get that. Hopefully he gets that effect that Josh Allen got when he got Stephon Diggs, what Jalen Hurts got when he got A.J. Brown. You know, even Dak Prescott when he got Amari Cooper. That kind of effect, getting a number one wide receiver, just does something to bolster quarterbacks, especially in fantasy. And finally, Brandon Cooks traded to the Cowboys. Definitely a W. And it fixes the issue the Cowboys front office made when they got rid of Amari Cooper and didn't fix it by replacing his production.
It's almost like the Browns should give us Amari Cooper back.
That would be nice. That would be nice. But this is a W move. You finally get Dak Prescott, a number two wide receiver to pair with CeeDee Lamb. Brandon Cooks low key has fantasy value.
Definitely.
You give him Dak Prescott was averaging somewhere around 33 passing attempts last year.
Yeah.
A full season, he's in the top 10.
Right. And he fits a serious need. I mean, because outside of CeeDee Lamb last year, obviously it's us being two Cowboys fans who watch every game, but outside of CeeDee Lamb, I mean, you had nothing.
Nope. You didn't have a wide receiver that could.
Noah Brown sometimes showed up, you know, but oftentimes let you down. Michael Gallup just could not separate from corner. So, I mean, you needed a serious need. And then you actually have somebody who can take the top off. Like, you could a serious speed threat, man, that can run downfield. And that's what Dak needs. Dak needs somebody, you know, who can take the top off.
Mm-hmm. And can run routes.
So, and Brandon Cooks is no slouch. He put up 1,000 yards a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. So that's such a W move right there. A W move.
Low key. If you miss on CeeDee Lamb.
We're not biased.
I'm a little bit biased. A little bit. But that'll do it for the episode. Thank you for checking us out. We did our biggest winners and losers. Gave you guys some news. Let you know what's going on around the NFL. And we had a nice little opening segment talking about the biggest fantasy comebacks between a couple of quarterbacks who may or may not be catching your attention this offseason. As we get closer and closer to draft season. So make sure that you follow us on all your social medias. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We're everywhere. And it's great to be back in front of the mic, man. I got to tell you.
Yes, definitely. Much needed.
Yes, sir. And you can check out, we're getting a website back up, fantasyfinance.com. We're going to be putting up some more articles as we get closer to, actually, not even until we get closer. We're just putting more articles up. All the old stuff's been taken down. The new stuff's coming up. So be on the lookout for that, too.
Yeah, make sure we put that snippet out of me telling y'all that I do not hate Dak, okay? I actually love Dak, okay?
So I might make that one of the promos.
When you put a trail out, just make sure you let everybody know because everybody's been trying to act like
You know why? And we'll wrap up with this. You know why, right? Because of your interceptions excuses tweets that's been coming out.
I'm not gonna go too long, but I'm gonna be honest. And this is, I feel like it was taken out of context. What I meant was, at this point of time in April, it does not matter. It does not matter. The interceptions are interceptions. You know what I'm saying? In April, when we're about to do the draft, it just does not matter. We are on to next season. Dak is gonna bounce back next year, and we're gonna ball out. But please stop throwing these receivers under the bus, okay? You're going to need them next season.
Now, half of them ain't even there. Look, I already knew what the issue was with Michael Gallup. So he gets a pass to me. But Noah Brown, he gone. And
where is he?
He's in Texas. Another wide receiver that got paid playing with Dak Prescott, but you know, he don't do nothing. Dak Prescott's not the guy.
He got Randall Cobb paid. He got Noah Brown paid. Dalton Schultz paid. Yeah. I'm so happy Dalton Schultz is going thick.
Yeah. Yo, Darnell Washington. That's the name you need to remember this draft. Tight end out of Georgia.
When will we
buddy,
have to take him
he
in
looks
the first
like
round?
A monster. No, I don't think you can get it. I don't think you need to take him in the first round because okay. I think Kincaid.
That's it, and I'm not on it. But
Kincaid and Mayer are top. I think what are they the top ranked?
You know who I want?
Tight ends. Who
I want? I want Quentin Johnston.
You think he's gonna fall that far?
No, I don't. But you know,
he's 6'4". That boy got speed, and he can run routes.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm actually working on an article for him too for another website that's trying to pick me up.
I mean, I seriously don't know who will we take at 26 because I don't know who will be available.
He's gonna go offensive line, you know that.
And I'm A-okay with that. The way Terrence Steele was playing, the way another year of Tyler Smith. I mean, come on.
I was talking to my folks about this last night actually, because I went over to my grandparents' house to check up on them and visit my sisters. You're not going to pay Tyler Biadasz next season. He's a free agent next year. You're not paying him. No. So you're either looking for a guy who can play guard this year and then move to center, or you're going to draft another center next year. Because I don't see the Cowboys giving him big money in a new contract to keep him. He's the weakest. People say he played good last year. Cool. He's the weakest link on the offensive line. And we don't have a left guard.
No, you're definitely.
So you're going to have to make a move there. And I think you go and get an offensive guard this year. And if you want to spend another pick in a draft to get another offensive lineman, you might want to do that.
Yeah.
But I feel like tight end, offensive line, and wide receiver are probably your three biggest pressing needs up front. And then you can go get another linebacker.
Isn't it just a beautiful thing? This is the last thing I'll say, but isn't it just a beautiful thing that we don't need anything on defense? Oh my. It's so beautiful. We went from having the worst defense in NFL history to being arguably the best defense in the NFL. We're obviously top two, but oh my goodness. We can go in the draft and we don't need a corner. We don't need a linebacker. We probably do need a nose tackle, but we can get that later on, but we don't eat anything. I got my tight end stopper and Jayron Kearse. You know what I'm saying? I got my two outside corners, and now I can play with Darren Bland in the slot.
That's a nice move. So it's definitely a good feeling. People are so stuck on recency with Dak Prescott. They're not paying attention to everything else, but... It's
I'm
cool.
Still stuck on recency, but I'll get over it. Just give me at least another week. At least another week, and then, you know, I'll put out a Dak Prescott video, and we'll kiss and make up.
Pause. All right. But that's it. Yeah, pause. That's it for the episode. Thank you for listening and checking us out. We got more episodes coming, so stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button. We will check you guys later. Peace.
To the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too @ the Fantasy's Finest. See you next episode.